I'm excited when people graduate. I'm excited because I'm telling you, a lot of them don't. And it takes a lot of hard work to do that. And I'm glad that she's got support of family here today. And you know what I love about Jesus? He'll meet you wherever you're at. No matter how broken you are, no matter how messed up you are, he will meet you where you're at, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. And if you let him do a little work on you, it'll be amazing. And I see that with Crystal. And I only expect good things from her. And down the road, I can see God using her somewhere. Isn't that awesome? And that'll be a reflection on the church, but more of a reflection on who Jesus is. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That is a great thing. That's who we are. That's what we're about. Next week, we do baptism. We've got some baptisms for next week. So we're excited, and she's on the list for that. I'm excited. That excites me. That puts fuel in me. That rejuvenates me because I see people that are struggling out there and choose not to get the help that they need. So, boy, for a moment, I was like, man, where's all of our people at? And started coming in late, and it's okay. And, again, want to welcome Mill Creek from Kentucky, Radcliffe. Wave your hand if you're new. Yep. This is the church that Tyler went to. This is the church that Tyler went to when Tyler was at Fort Knox when he was able to go, and then he got shipped off for a long time. But he did go there a couple of times, and he buddied up with Rick a couple of times. Not as much as I wanted him to, but I found out he was gone all the time. But anyway, it's good to have you guys back. It's been 5 years, I think. 5 years. 5 years. Yep, 5 years. They were here for 3 years, and then they were odd. Then they missed the last 5 years. And they come back. So, yes, we are excited. Yes. Good. And I know if you can run down the soup kitchen and get some Southern cooking, because I know she cooks good. Okay, there's a few of the missionary people that cook real well, and if I remember right, she cooks super well. Her team's always well. I will say this real quick, too. The Lifehouse right now, the one that's up and running, the one on the corner, this team was here, and we prayed over that building, and Bob said we weren't going to get it because we didn't have the money for it. It was for $30,000. We didn't have the money. We put a bid in for $21,000 because we had $22,000 in the account, so we put a bid in for $21,000. Nancy right there, just wave your hand, Nancy. Nancy's the good cook in there. She said, she stopped. She said, I think we need to pray about this on the porch. So we stood there on the porch and we prayed about it. And we were done. And she says, I think you're going to get it. Well, it was a few months, but we got it. Do you believe that prayer changes things and opens doors? Good. So we are in a spiritual warfare kind of movement right here on these Sunday mornings. And it's not a topic that is preached much. I will tell you that I had called all the way. If you know about our Southern Baptist Convention, I've even talked to people in our state level, talked to people at NAM, if you know who NAM is, the Southern Baptist headquarters, talked to some writers, talked to some big people down there, and nobody wants to touch spiritual warfare. This was way back to me about 7-8 years ago. Nobody wants to touch it, but it's all over Scripture. I don't understand it. It's all over Scripture. So taking the lead and just having to get into it and picking up pieces in there and just praying and living through it, spiritual warfare is real. You can be ignorant of it, but it's still real. And I want to tell you, there's also teachings where it's just very surface style of teaching. And sometimes we got to go a little deeper than that. But I'm going to read a scripture for you. I read it last week. We're going to read it again. Then we're going to go into some practical things. But in Ephesians chapter 6, I know that that is a great piece to start. We always talk about the armor of God, and that's a good piece. But we talked about that last week, but I'm going to go back up and I'm going to read something again out of verse 10. He says, finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand, and therefore stand. So we see a piece here that there is spiritual warfare. You need to wake up. I'm going to be a little tough, but you need to wake up and start seeing that everything is not physical. It's really more spiritual. It's more spiritual than it is physical, but it rolls into the physical. Spiritual warfare is real. I want to tell you, the closer you get to Christ, the more you find out what your purpose is in this world, the more people draw to God, the more spiritual warfare will begin to happen. When you begin to do what God has called you to do, whether it's your family and you're getting priorities set back in place, you're beginning to worship again, you're beginning to get your life right with God, you're starting to get into a ministry, you begin to step forward, you're walking away from sinful lifestyles, whatever it is, and you're walking toward Jesus, spiritual warfare is going to happen. If you don't believe it, then you don't believe the Bible. I'm just going to tell you. Because you can go all the way back from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. There was spiritual warfare in the Garden of Eden. Temptation to sin. There was spiritual warfare with Job. Spiritual warfare there. That he didn't even know at that moment all the things that were going to happen to him. And that did happen to him. Spiritual warfare with David when he's standing on top of his home. And he sees a beautiful woman over there. That was not his. There was spiritual warfare going on there. And people do not believe in the demonic and the darkness. It's foolish not to believe it. And when Jesus came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that if you look just in the first five chapters of the book of Mark, you'll see Jesus walking from place to place and people were filled with demonic demons all the time. You think it was just during that moment? No, you read it in the book of Acts. You'll see it there with Paul and those individuals and Peter. They were constantly running into it because people were drawing to Jesus. When you draw to Jesus, spiritual warfare is going to happen. Now, I want to tell you practically, if you write notes, this would be a good time to take notes. I have nine things here I want to help you with that you might not. Not everything is spiritual warfare. Not every bump in your life is spiritual warfare, okay? Not every bump in your life, not everything is caused by demonic. I'm not going there. Don't think that that's what I'm saying. But there are times when it does happen. There are times when it does happen. Now, spiritual warfare comes in different ways, different sizes, but the authority, the power behind it is always is the darkness that comes from Satan, okay? Number one, if you write notes, here it is. The first thing is when you're going through spiritual warfare, doesn't have to be in the order. It doesn't have to mean you got all of these. They can interact. They can intertwine. It's a toolbox that Satan uses all the time. But these are some things. I'm not going to talk about individual sins. I'm going to talk about it overall. Okay? So number one, you begin to lose your joy in the Lord. You begin to lose your joy in the Lord. You begin to walk away. Okay? So, you begin to lose your spiritual desire. I don't care kind of an attitude in your heart. You're like, and times that you're like, I don't understand. Why am I not feeling drawn to God? You're not going to have God mountain moments all the time. We should know that as Christians. You're going to have some of those, but when you lose your desire to draw close to God, you lose your desire, your spiritual joy. That's a part that Satan uses many times to get you to lose that joy that you have, that hunger, that love that you have for God. Doesn't mean you stop loving Him, but there becomes a wedge in there between somehow in this relationship. You're not sure where it comes from, but it begins to happen. You're like, man, I'm solid in the Lord. Why don't I feel Him? Why don't I have a desire to lean forward and trust Him? I begin to lose that, but that is the beginning sometimes of spiritual warfare. And you begin to feel alone. And you don't know why, and you're struggling with it. You're struggling with those things. Number two, fear begins to take over your life. Fear begins to overshadow. You begin to fear almost everything, and sometimes everyone. The Bible tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So we know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear that comes from somewhere else. Timothy was struggling a little bit with that. Prior verses says the flame was going down. The spiritual flame was going down. There was some fear that was going on with the people around him. But fear begins to take over and overshadows us. And when you live in fear, you are powerless. When you live in fear, you're powerless. So that's a part of that. That's a part of that. And we need to remember the scriptures. You know, I always believe it's not just learning the scripture, but it's experiencing the scripture. Put it into action. And know it. And believe it. And confess it. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. That'd be your 1 John 4:4. When we see that, there's a part there that we begin to live in fear over that. Another way that spiritual warfare begins to attack is when your resources begin to dry up. Your resources, your finances, all the things that you have, all the material things that you kind of have are kind of going off. Everything's tweaking out, and you got a little bit of this and a little bit of that happened, but your resources, it doesn't matter what you do, they just begin to dry up, and you're like, there's really no purpose or reason for this. Why is this happening? There's always other things going on with it, but we see those resources are drying up. But what does the scripture tell us? John 10:10 says the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. To steal your resources. I don't like experiencing that one. You see, we need to experience the scriptures that are powerful. Like greater seed is in me, the knowing that I can walk. I don't need to walk in fear, but I can walk in strength and the power of the Lord. But there's also scriptures that tells me that there is a thief, there is a dark one that comes to steal and kill and destroy. So I can experience the other parts of it, and we experience those things when it comes to steal those things and out of our life, and steal that joy out of your life. But we don't know how. We struggle with the whole piece of that. And some of us are dealing with the spiritual warfare, and we don't even know we're in it because we don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about it. And that's what I want to help you with, that we can learn through that. Also, he says, number four would be like when your family begins to take hits over and over and over, one after another after another. Your family is taking hits, whether it's division in your own family, as your family begins to split apart and you don't know why. It's kind of becoming chaos in the family. Also, there can be a division in the marriage. There's just some things going on in the marriage. Not talking about normal arguments, but big things. It could be the family is fighting. Satan loves to divide. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Satan loves to destroy the family. He loves to destroy families. And we struggle with it. We struggle with spiritual warfare in this area. He uses families against each other. How many has a perfect family out there? How many got families fighting in their own family? Come on now, how many of y'all got family fighting? Okay, that's it. I'm just saying, this stuff goes on. You got believers, you got non-believers, you're trying to work it out, and families are just struggling. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Everybody thinks they do, though. You always right? I'm not always right. We need to be people of forgiveness. But we're too busy trying to get people to fit in, to fit into our shoes, those kind of things. And spiritual warfare begins to rip it apart. And then you got people that just don't even know what's going on. Number five, old habits begin to kind of creep around again. And old friends begin to creep around again. All of a sudden you get a text, you get a phone call, or you get a message from someone that you used to run with, and they were not a good person. And those people will begin, and Satan loves to throw those lines out. He loves to throw those lines out because he's always trying to get you to move back into the sinful world. Satan's pulling you out. But old friends begin to show up. Old friends begin to show up. You know who they are. Some of you know who they are. There's no business. If God's taking you away from them, you don't need to go back. You need to cut them off. There's some people you just need to cut out of your life. You need to cut out of your life. Come on now, there's some people you need to cut out. We need to become adults in the Lord. We need to cut them out. Okay? We need to cut them out. Because if we don't, we're going to go right back. We are going to go right back. I like what Paul says here in Philippians 3. You know it. He says in verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." Some of us need to turn our backs on the past and walk straight ahead. We need to stop looking back. Back there, it's a mess. We created a mess. That's our worst. That's our old lifestyle. That's our junk. That cost us a lot. We need to walk away from that. Walk away from it. It's not that good. It was never that good anyway. It was never that good anyway. Number six, when you're going through spiritual warfare many times, it's this. You begin to pull, what you don't know why sometimes, but you begin to pull away from godly people. You begin to pull away from the things of God. You become a hermit. It's not godly. God doesn't want us. God's built us with relationships. We begin to pull away from people. From godly people. We begin to pull away from worship. We stop coming to church. It amazes me. People say, "Let me tell you what God did for me. What God's doing for me," and when they get over that, and they get over that hill, they get that battle won, you can't find them again. You can't find them again. And so they turn around and they fall away. They fall away. People begin to fall away from what helped them. I see it here all the time. People do it all the time. People do it all the time. I'm going to give you a scripture out of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 23 says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering." We don't waver. We're not supposed to waver. For he who had promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encourage each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. They had the same problem as we got today. Habitually missing worship. Habitually missing, falling away. Like I said, as you draw close to God, Satan's trying to pull you back. And some of this is not going to mean a thing to you today. I get it. But if you write it down, I'm telling you, some of you are going to go through spiritual warfare. Some of you are probably in it right now. You're going to go through some times of hardship. You're going to go through some times of hardship. Number seven. You are constantly discouraged or in a depression. Always down, negative about everything, and you don't feel loved. Well, let me tell you, if you don't feel loved, that's a lie from the devil. I want to tell you, God loves you. The Bible tells us so. For God so loved the world, God loves you. If you read it, believe it. And let him love you. And the Bible says as a church, as believers, we are to love one another. So you need to know that people of the church need to love you. Now, some of us don't act like we do. You need to find one that acts like they do. And there are many here. You need to do that. You need to find those people. You need to find those individuals. You need to dig down sometimes in your own life. You need to dig down. Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says, "Where I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator of heaven and of earth." So where does my help come from? The Bible tells me it comes from where? The Creator of heaven and earth. If He created all these things, then He ought to be able to do okay with me. Amen? So I'm going to trust God in that verse. And I've been to that verse many times in times of these low moments in my life. Also, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy burdened. And he says, I will give you rest. The scriptures are there. We complicate it many times because we're not doing what God wants us to do and get through it. But constant depression and constant discouragement can be spiritual warfare. Another one that gets a little tougher. Some of you may experience this, number 8. When you begin to start having evil thoughts and nightmares that are way out of your control. We see that in the book of Job. But evil thoughts that you don't know where they're coming from. You don't know why they come in your mind. The nightmares that are disgusting, they're evil, they're wicked, and you're like, this is not me, what is going on? And you begin, and listen, they can be spiritual warfare. Listen, I'm going to tell you this just from experience. If you have it more than 2 nights in a row, you're in spiritual warfare. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you have it more than 2 nights in a row, you're in spiritual warfare. There is something that don't belong in your area. And he's coming and he's creeping and he's putting things in your mind. He's putting things in your night and you're sleeping and those things, and it becomes very dark, very ugly. And what happens is when you start going through that, then what he's trying to creep in there is a spirit of fear. I'm just telling you from prior experience. What happens is the dreams and the nightmares begin to happen over and over. And what happens is then you're going to have one, not when you're sleeping, but when you are wide awake. I don't know how to explain it, but it happens. When you see something, you see whatever is wide awake, it is hitting you and not letting go, and it wants to pierce into you some fear. And when you fear, you have fear, you are powerless. Listen, the only reason I talk about spiritual warfare is this. I know this. Jesus loves us. Jesus saved us. Jesus has a plan. God has a plan. But we're living in this world right now, and God has infilled us with the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to have more victories in our life and less defeats. There's too many Christians living in defeat today because they don't know how to live the way God, and don't know how to use the scriptures that God has for us. Listen, Satan is real, but he has an end. And the Bible tells us he has an end. God himself, Christ himself, is going to take care of that business. But there's a time, but it's not right now. Remember, we're here for a moment, and then we're just passing through. Okay. But I only got one life to live. You only got one life to live. You better live it for the Lord. If you live it for yourself, you've been selfish. You've been greedy. So you'll stand before the Lord as a selfish, greedy, independent person, and no one can stand before God and be faithful with that. Okay. This is about your life, all right? This is about your family. Spiritual warfare is real. It is real. And when you have spiritual warfare, and it comes into nightmares, and it comes into things, and you begin to see visions of things when you are wide awake, I'm telling you, those attacks are not coming from your imagination. They are coming from the dark side. But Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all your anxiety on Him because Jesus cares for you. You see, I've had to learn a lot of Scripture to get me through this junk. Because nobody is going to get me through it, okay? Nobody's going to get this through just one person except Christ. We're going to get to that in a minute. I've got to move on. Number 9, I can't go on anymore. I'm going to have to cut it short. But number 9 is this. We got to be careful when I say it, but health issues. Not every health issue is spiritual warfare, but some health issues are. And I'll tell you, go back and read Mark 1-5. You can read the other Gospels too, but I'm just telling you, it is like over and over and over. Luke is a big one too. So many people would be healed of blindness, but sometimes Jesus would call out a demon of someone who had health issues. Jesus knew the difference between those who were health issues and those who were demonic. That the demonic was giving health issues and health problems. With the lepers, he didn't call out demons with the lepers, but he called out the demon out of the boy. And it was just, so you got to know, how do you know these things? You know them by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Know them by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, those are some things that you can go through, and those are some things that we struggle with, and that they could be spiritual warfare. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to give you how to overcome it, how to beat it. That's the key, right? How to beat it. Because there's other ways that you can go through spiritual warfare, but the scripture tells us that it is not a, we don't battle in flesh and blood. We're not. It's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. So we got to do this different than the world. We can't raise up an army with tanks and airplanes and combat individuals and do that kind of training. No, it's a different training. It's spiritual training. It's mental training. It's a heart training. It's the hardest kind. It's the hardest kind. And number one, how do you get through spiritual warfare? Number one, you cannot do it alone. You need Jesus. You cannot do it alone. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that I can't, it doesn't say I can do all things and strengthen myself, but I can do all things through Christ. Not through myself, but through Christ. Through Christ. You cannot do it alone. You can't do it alone. You cannot do it alone. Number two, they're simple, but they're so powerful. Number two, you need to go find your Bible. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's true. You need to go find your Bible and open it up. Quit looking for a magic word. Quit looking for a magic three-word prayer. Quit looking for a whatever. The bottle and the pill, not going to help you. You need to find that Bible. And you need to wipe the dust off of it. You might need to open it up. You may need to go buy one. Don't borrow one. Go buy your own. You need one yourself. You need to find one. And you need to read it. And you need to pray in it. You need to speak over God's promises. You need to meditate on a couple of verses and learn them as memory. Because you're not always going to have a physical Bible with you when you're going through all your junk. You need to get into the Word of God. Don't look at it as 66 books going, I can't do this, I can't. Just pick out some, just pray and Lord, show me where to start. I need help. And if you need help, just go to the book of Job. That'll help you. Go to the book of Psalms. That'll help you. Okay? If you don't know who the devil is, go to Ezekiel chapter 28 and you'll see where he was and how he fell and you'll know a little bit more about your adversary. But spend more time on Jesus and his power than you do the darkness, okay? You need to find your Bible and you need to read it. Number three, you need to worship. You need to praise and worship him, even in spiritual warfare. It doesn't feel great. You don't feel great. You almost even kind of, you got a Bible and you just kind of pushing it back. You grab it. You're struggling with it. Because spiritual warfare is warfare. It is a war. You take some licks, you push them back. You take some licks. Somebody's got to win that war. And you got to keep pushing back. And here it is. What gets you through? I'm telling you, one of the biggest things that'll get you through is praise and worship. Where you praise him in your storm, you praise him in your valley, you praise him in the grave, you praise him wherever you are, you praise his name because the Bible says he is worthy. Amen. Worthy of praise. Even when you ain't got it right. And I'm telling you, even if you just sin and you feel real bad about it, just praise him anyway. You can't take back the junk, the sin you just did. But you can turn around and praise him and repent from what you just did. And if you did it with your heart, he'll not leave you there. He'll begin to work in your life. And he'll make the whole darkness push away. But you got to step toward him and quit stepping back away from him. You got to keep going toward him. And when you get toward and you're moving toward Christ, you cannot have, the power of God will continue to drop things and convict your heart of things that you've not been honest about. And then people want to turn away because they don't want to become honest about it. So we continue to live in spiritual warfare, but we got to worship him. How do we do that? We do that in our homes. Amen? We do that. You take a walk. I see Ed walking a lot. And I'm sure, and I know Ed, he's probably praying some. Probably praying the whole time. That's worshiping. That's doing a good thing. And I do that too. I love it when I take my New Testament and I just take a walk with Jesus. And I said, one chapter, we're going to walk. And we watch, read a couple verses. And I walk and pray, read a couple verses, walk and pray, and I take a pen and I write, what verse really, man, that really connected to me, and that strengthens me through that. So you can combine all of these together. So, and you can do it when you're driving. Okay, you're driving. Some of you are not great singers, so you can sing as loud as you want and praise Jesus in your car. And do it good, okay? But listen, you don't quit coming to church. You don't quit coming to church because there's something about the worship that you do out there that is great and amazing. But there is something that is unique when you come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and you worship together. And you begin to rejoice with those who rejoice, and you begin to mourn with those who mourn, and you do it together. You get happy with each other, and you get sad with each other, just like you all stood for Crystal. We did it together. Amen? Amen? Prayer. We think this is the easiest one, but I'm going to tell you it's the hardest one. It is the hardest one to do in spiritual warfare. These are not 2-minute prayers. These are 20-minute prayers. These are half-hour prayers. These are all-afternoon prayers. These are midnight-hour prayers. These are prayers almost constantly. We got to get it. It is the hardest thing to do is pray when you're in. Because what do we say? When you're in spiritual warfare, you're losing your love and your drive. You lost your joy. You don't know why, and you're struggling spiritually. You lost some of that stuff, and you're trying to get it back, so prayer becomes difficult. But you fight through it anyway. It's hard to focus. When you're in spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, it is hard to focus on what you're saying. It is hard to focus. What got me out of my last biggest spiritual warfare was this: praise, worship, and prayer at the same time. Didn't have a hymn book, but I knew some old hymns by memory. I knew some new songs by memory. And then when I stopped, when I couldn't remember the words, I'd go right into praying. Thanking God. Praising His name. Go right back into singing another song. How great thou art. I'd be singing a couple of few lines of it. And then go right back into praying. Because when you're in spiritual warfare, you got to use all that you got. And then there's something that's moving inside of you, and that is the Holy Spirit. So you got to keep doing it anyway. And sometimes you're going to need a friend for you. You know, you can't do it alone. That was our first one, you can't do it alone. Sometimes we need a friend too. But that friend can only go so far with you. Jesus, when he was going to the garden, the morning he was going to be arrested, he took his three with him. He took his disciples there down there. He took three with him. Said, go with me a little further. They were there. But it was Jesus had to go a little bit further on his own. Because to get through spiritual warfare, you got to do a part that's on your own. That's part of the faith testing that happens. So you can have a great group of people beside you and behind you and around you, but with you, it's got to be you and Jesus. Your faith. Going just a little bit further. So prayer is a piece. We need to have prayer in that spiritual warfare. And there are times when you don't feel like praying. You're like, I just can't do this. So you get on the hammer. You call somebody and you say, listen, I'm really struggling. I can't share what it is, but will you pray for me? Because my prayer life is out the door right now. I don't understand it. I say two words. Everything's falling to the ground. I'm trying to start. But I know that you are a praying person. I know that you, when you say you pray, you pray. I've got a few of those people in my life. I love it. I feel stronger because I have a few of those people in my life. I feel strong about that. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare to get through it. Sometimes you've got to get down and you've got to get dirty and you've got to get really mean and nasty. Not in the way that you're thinking, but in a way that just, once again, you're giving more. And you're already feeling beat down. You already feel physically empty. You just, I don't. All I got is I know this. All I know is this. God's word is true. That's all I know. I'm lost on everything that's going on in my life. There's times when you got to dig. You got to dig, and this is the piece where you got to go. You got to go to. You got to fast. Fasting. And I want to tell you, fasting is more powerful than what we can ever imagine. It shakes heaven when you fast. You are denying yourself. You are denying the fleshly desires because I love food. The older I get, the more I like it. And I just like it. But if I can deny that because I say the spiritual intake is more important than the physical intake, I can push that away and deal with this because that food will be there later. But I'm going through a problem right now. I'm going through some spiritual warfare and I need to overcome this. It's had me for too long. And I need to work it out. Some of you guys know that been here a long time know that we've had spiritual warfare in our church. Then I've went through it, and some of you went through it, and I've went through it, and I've shared a few things with you. Sometimes we went through it together. It is always a hard thing to do. But we're thankful we're still standing. And the only reason we still stand, and the only reason we're still together as brothers and sisters in Christ is because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, I said it last week and I'll say it again. We got to get stronger in our walk with the Lord. We've got to get stronger. Little things should not be bothering us anymore. As well, we should be able to grab those things, put them in a headlock, pray over it, and go on. And you know what? You're not always going to agree with each other. Let's be big children of God and say, okay, we may not have to agree, but let's just keep working together. Let's just keep going forward. We don't have to always agree on everything. Because I'm telling you, there's a world out here, and it's infiltrated into the urban city, to the rural, to the countryside, all across our country, and into the churches. We have an epidemic opiate problem. We have an addiction problem, and nobody's thought. Everybody believes that this is going to fix it, that's going to fix it, this is going to... Listen, Jesus is a chain breaker. It ain't always going to be a program for the government. Jesus is the chain breaker. He's the one that broke your chains out of your sin. Only Him. Until we get right with Him, we're going to continue to have this problem. We're going to keep focusing on the drug issue and keep releasing millions and billions of dollars to fix a problem that money can't fix. That's what America does. Money can't fix it. It's a heart problem. It's a belief problem. It's a faith problem. It's a no Jesus problem. We need Jesus and they need Jesus. That's the only reason I believe Crystal's here. Because of what Jesus is doing in her life and she's allowed Jesus to do in her life. Now I want to be honest with you. Crystal's going to have a bump in life from time to time. Don't you dare point a finger at her because I have bumps in my life and I bet you got bumps in your life. Amen? But that's what we're here for. To share our burdens with one another. And it's going to get even messier down the road when we bring in women with children. And I'm going to ask you, are you going to be able to love them the way you're supposed to? The way God wants you to? Because spiritual warfare, anytime, this is why it's such a battle in this church to keep members and our church to keep growing. It's such a battle because we keep, listen, this isn't about me, it's about God. But we keep moving toward the things of God. What did I say in the beginning? When you move toward the things of God, Satan begins to move. Because you're drawing to Jesus, you're doing what He wants. Listen, nobody ever messed with Peter, James, and John when they were fishing. But when they became disciples, we'll mess with them a little bit. But when they became spiritual field believers, apostles, but big believers, then spiritual warfare. They saw spiritual warfare when Jesus was doing it. But when they began to serve Jesus as leaders and begin to get out there, then the attacks began to become on them. We are doing that here. We're no better than anybody else. We're just doing what God called us to do. And we're going to have more spiritual warfare in this church. And the spiritual warfare is in all the people that are struggling just to get here because of an addiction, because of a lifestyle, because of an attitude, because of whatever. Or a sexual lifestyle that the Bible doesn't agree with. We're to love all of them. Amen? We're to love all of them. Be honest and share the truth. The truth shall set you what? Free. And I feel free this morning. How about you? I feel free this morning. And God wants you to be free. But God's going to bring people here that are not free. They're not free. And we got to be patient. We got to fight some fights with them, sometimes for them, but we can't win it for them. Spiritual warfare is just not about us as individuals, but it's us about as a group of believers, but also what's going on in this community. God has strategically placed us right here because we wanted to go where? Out on the highway. And God said, right here. I'm so glad we chose His way. Amen? We could have had a beautiful parking lot, a beautiful church, and fill it up with maybe 200, 250 people looking good and great and everything, and walk out on Sunday morning feeling good about ourselves. If you really want to follow Jesus in this world, it's always the harder way, just being honest. Because Satan attacks those who draw to Jesus. Amen? Let's stand. I don't want to keep you any longer.